With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Are you
this
in?
Is the Rich Eisen Show.
Sing.
Deep left field, ball going, ball gone for Manny Machado.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Bellinger going back to the wall. He leaps and makes a spectacular catch.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Blows a kiss over to Manny Machado, who didn't like him throwing the glove.
Nothing upsets me more than dumbass crap.
Today's guests, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, plus Grammy Award winner Jon Bon Jovi. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We're pleased to be here on a Thursday. We've got ourselves week 5 in the NFL season kicking off tonight, and it's a pretty damn good one, if I may say so myself.
Yeah, I think so, too, man.
Worthy of it being the first triple cast on Fox, NFL Network, Amazon Prime. We're excited about tonight, and we'll be discussing that along with everything going on in the National Football League. Chris Brockman, good to see you, sir.
Hey, man, what's happening?
Mike Del Tufo.
Good to see you, Rich.
Good day for people in New Jersey on this program.
Yes.
Jon Bon Jovi's on this show.
Right. Living on a prayer, baby.
Indeed. Woo. Indeed. I don't know if who's more excited about him being on this show, you or my wife.
She's Springsteen. We're both Springsteen.
I know that, but she's equal. I don't know if I'd put it equal. I shouldn't speak for her.
I saw Bon Jovi on the Jersey Shore, so I go back a little farther than the... oh, yeah, in the old days. He used to be in Tom's River Guy. He's a Tom's River Guy.
Okay. This is a good day, though. That's an hour number 3. I mean, we've got a lot to talk about between now and then. Good to see you, TJ Jefferson. Good to see you over there.
What's up, Rich?
Oh, okay. Keep swatting.
Some flies around.
Keep on swatting. Keep on swatting.
Keep them off,
we've got ourselves a fun 3-hour program. And I do want to start a little bit with the fun. You want to start with the fun?
I love fun.
I mean, there's too much COVID in the world. Chief Medical Officer of the NFL, who may or may not be joining us right now, he is in surgery. I was told, he's not being operated on. I think this is what the man's doing. It's impressive.
Paging Dr. Brockman.
No, we're not going to be doing that.
We can get Brockman. He's good.
But we'll hit that. He may or may not be joining us on this show. We're hoping to hear from the Chief Medical Officer from the NFL if he can work it in. And if he can't, we'll get him on either tomorrow or another day. But That is a major topic of discussion. But I do want to, let's just start with fun, right? Start with fun.
I love fun.
Now, does it seem to you, Chris,
okay,
that the sport that polices the fun amongst themselves as players in the most annoying way out of all the major sports is Major League Baseball? Would you agree with that?
Yes.
That when somebody scores a touchdown, back in the day when celebrations were not spiked and then brought back, back in the day when Ocho Cinco would grab a pylon and putt a football with it, when Steve Smith Sr. would spin a football and warm his hands over the spinning football as if it was a fire, right? All of that. When Cam Newton would be celebrating in a certain way, the NFL would essentially say, hey, NFL players, hey, just prevent him from scoring, right?
Right.
Remember that?
Absolutely.
In general, the NFL players would be like, if you don't like the celebration, stop me from scoring, right? Okay. The NBA, we've seen rim hanging that got obviously brought a rule to change it. But other than that, just screaming, yelling, exuberance over a moment, like Anthony Davis hitting a 3-point shot, LeBron, right? He's reacting to his teammates. You don't bat an eye. Okay? Soccer, professional footy.
Football.
Seriously, guys score a goal.
Rip their shirts off.
And they act
off
like Christian Laettner just beat Kentucky running around, but they take their shirts off, right?
I mean,
they're running around.
They got the bodies for it. So.
Major League Baseball took two Gratterols and called you in the morning last night. Right? Okay. By the way, San Diego Padres fans out there listening to the Rich Eisen Show on the Mightier 1090 today, I'm feeling you. You've got a great, fun
They team. Had that game last
they
night.
Had it.
They had it.
They had it.
Ugh.
And Cody Bellinger brought it back in.
Took it away.
What a play. Guy's not even a regular, everyday center fielder. He can give you first. He can give you right. He can give you center if you need be. And what a grab.
God.
What a grab. And it's not just anybody hitting the ball either. It's Fernando Tatis Jr. taking 99 straight away center. And a two-run shot that would have put San Diego up is brought back in. And Bellinger, as he's coming down, it seems, his non-gloved hand pointing up number one, and then
it was amazing.
I forget who came by, and instead of chest bumping, he turned his back, because I believe that was it Taylor? Okay. I believe that's for social distancing, right? Was that what that was? I'll turn my back. You know, so you can't do chest bumps because you're too close to each other.
Back bumps.
I thought it was great.
Ugh.
But I have never seen a reaction of a pitcher who was just given up what looked like ticketed for gopher baldom, celebrating his center fielder catching the ball by throwing his glove in celebration and then his hat in celebration. It literally looked like one of those officials that had already thrown a flag and then has to throw the hat too, right?
Because somebody stepped out of bounds.
Somebody stepped out. That's the first thing I thought of. I clearly have football on the brain. And then we're playing the feud.
Oh, man.
Because I guess you don't see that every day. Pitcher, who, by the way, I mean, normally when you got to throw 100, right, you got like that high leg kick and you are bringing it. This kid, Gratterol, can really just... he's got fast twitch muscles, man, and it was great. I had no. Did you have a problem with him celebrating like that?
I mean,
this baseball's decorum, must it always come into play? I mean, Tatis, prior to this, he's bat flipping and everything. They're making T-shirts out of him throwing a bat in the air.
By the way, that wasn't a bat flip by Manny Machado. That was a bat throw to the dugout.
Right. I know he's done that. It's just, come on, man. So
here's what I
And then Muncy's yelling back at him.
Right.
And then how about this one? How about this one? It's Machado. And by the way, I believe, just so everyone knows, what we're showing on the screen is a screen grab of Machado barking at the Dodgers. I do believe it's the you portion of what he's saying.
Nice.
Thankfully.
Nice.
Okay. It's
nice.
He said,
you.
Do you?
It's the you.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like, you know, Warren Sapp and Michael Irvin back in the day. You know. Okay. And then Max Muncy is in the middle of the out of here portion, or back to the dugout, go back to the dugout.
The OH part? The OH?
And they're all saluting Machado, basically saying, you know, they're saluting Machado, the bat thrower, as well. I mean, everybody's doing it, right? Get back to the dugout. And how about Mookie Betts? Mookie's now feeling you, Mookie. Barely, and still a Dodger. He's still a Dodger blue baby. Still tough to even for me get used to it. How's it for you, Chris? All right.
Not great.
That's a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer it. He's even streaming. Go, go, go. I'm enjoying it.
I love this rivalry, though, that they
like
got
it.
Now. It's awesome.
But it starts from, like, what? Should you act like you've been there before? Like watching your center fielder do what he's doing?
Gratterol, like, if that's to end the game, yes. Throw your hat, rip your shirt off, do whatever. But it was what, the 6th, 7th inning? Like,
go next up.
Yeah, be excited, cheer for him, give him a high five.
Machado hit one right up the middle the next batter up, next time up.
That's how good he is.
The next inning.
Yeah, I mean,
he hit a hot smash
That's
up the middle
good that
nearly
guy
hit Gratterall, but they were perfectly positioned. It was ticketed for center
field. I mean, I know that is
hit.
An amazing play and a huge situation that would have tied the game. They already had two home runs in that inning. Just calm down a little bit.
It just seems baseball is just the only sports like you're it's too much. And then I go back and forth that it is a youth sport as well. Like, what would I want my son doing that? No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. But it's different between kids and grown-ass men who can retaliate by directing a ball straight up the middle at the pitcher the next at bat. Yeah. Right?
I'm sure Machado was trying to do that, too.
What a game.
It was awesome.
Oh, man, the Padres had it.
Had it. By the way, Kenley Jansen walking.
Well, now that's another thing too. Is and
walking
after
gas can like
after the game, Dave Roberts said that's a position we'll have to take a look at.
But this is like three postseasons in a row.
That's what I'm saying. That's why he's finally saying like, you know, there are candidates and for the Dodgers to figure that out.
I mean, Joe Kelly looked all right coming in.
How about the kid who was again nearly gave up the gopher ball? The guy throws 100. And by the way, the movement on his pitches are ridiculous.
Yeah.
We have to say, I'm going to think it through, is the exact quote from Dave Rom. Meanwhile, my team, now down 2-1, because they are not consistent enough hitting. They can't make nearly enough contact. Gopher Ball Tanaka showed up last night, as opposed to the playoff pitcher prior to this year. He gave up 6 runs in Cleveland. He gave up a couple of homers. He gave up a big shot last night to Kiermaier, and then, you know, all right, I'll do this. Can't get anyone out because the platter is a Rosarena. I'm sick of this guy. Can we get out a Rosarena?
How about these Rays kids,
unbelievable.
Though, that like nobody's really probably ever heard of, and they're just dropping bombs. They're so good.
They are. As constructed and playing right now, a better team than the Yankees. And I'm fully able to say that.
And, I mean, Sanchez is killing you guys, too.
Well, Sanchez didn't even play last night.
Well, I mean,
Sanchez,
But the fact that he's not in the lineup and he's one of your best home run hitters.
Look, they should be able to be able, you know, if Sanchez is not hitting, then. But this kid, Rosarena, I mean, is truly a revelation. Hottest hitter, I think, in Major League Baseball playoffs. Although I haven't watched any of the Braves Marlins series. Two salutes, sir. How many shutouts can you throw? Can
That's
you twirl?
3 out of 4. Goodness gracious.
We'll see if Marlins playing with house money, man. I mean,
yeah.
With all those cancellations due to COVID, you didn't think they could even get through the season. And let's not forget, it was just a couple of years ago that we were saying Derek Jeter was purposefully giving away Giancarlo Stanton to his former team as a gift to the Yankees. And now he and Mattingly. Which is just insane. Like, two of my favorite Yankees of all time have the Marlins in a position. They knocked out the Cubs. So they're playing with house money. We'll see what happens there. And the A's survived elimination as well at your baseball playoffs. Now, and let me just hit the NFL a little bit here. Okay. The Tennessee Titans, another positive test today. And yesterday's was confirmed again, and the yesterdays and todays are the most concerning of all because they were negative as a team 2 straight days. And for a team that was supposed to be quarantining and going back to their homes because the facility was closed and just going to their separate corners to make sure that there wasn't an outbreak, why are the Titans continuing to test positive? Is this a medical issue? Is this an issue where there's an incubation period? Or is it the fact that the Tennessee Titans reportedly, and visual proof and confirmation from other sources, held a practice, 15 of them, outdoors at a local private school the day after they were sent home. Is that what it is? Because if that's what it is, then the Titans need to be hammered for it. And the question is, how do you hammer a team for it? There was, as you know, a setup the NFL and the Players Association agreed to prior to deciding to go forward with the 2020 season where there were certain steps for violations of protocol. And then there was a tightening of protocol restrictions and punishments after the Titans tested positive. So can you use the current protocol punishments retroactively on this team. What can the commissioner do? What should the commissioner do? What should happen? What can happen is all apparently being worked out right now. And so many people I'm seeing on Twitter are saying the Titans, if it is found out that they were reckless in breaking these protocols and have now thrown into doubt their week 5 game against the Buffalo Bills this Sunday, and that game is difficult to postpone or push back to Monday or Tuesday because the Bills' next game is Thursday. Diana Rossini of ESPN is reporting that it's possible to push the Bills game and the Titans game into early next week and just take the Thursday night kickoff between the Chiefs and the Bills, a huge game in the AFC, and push it to Saturday. Thus, I imagine giving Fox the exclusive nightly window that they would want on a Thursday night. I mean, that's what they paid $3 billion for the Thursday night spot, Thursday night specific, because that's a Monday night television. But I guess, again, everybody's going to have to roll with punches here. And if that's not a fix, then what do you do? Do you play a Week 18 game? And if so, why not just tell the Titans you're the ones who screwed this one up? So you pay the price, and you now must forfeit Week 5. My problem with that is that also prior to the season, in hammering out an agreement to play the season between the Players Association and the league, was an agreement that any game that gets forfeited or canceled due to COVID does not require paychecks to be cut to the players on both teams. So you tell the Bills, hey, guess what? You are now 5-0, and you don't have to leave your house. You're 5-0. Tennessee, you're 3-1. Tennessee, you don't get paid, but Buffalo, you also don't get paid. Is that fair?
That ain't going to fly.
No, that's not
is that fair? Is that fair to the Buffalo Bills?
That won't fly.
Nope.
No, that's not fair. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's a fix. Bills are going through their protocols. Bills obviously could take the win as opposed to playing one of the tougher teams in the American Football Conference. But they don't get paid? Is that right?
Would the Bills have the option, are you saying?
No, I think the Bills won't have the option. I think the NFL option is to punish this team, and I think it might come in the form of draft choices. That's what I think. And they'll figure out what the schedule is when they figure out what the schedule is, and that's part of the reason why they want to play this game, is it's not fair to the Bills to say, okay, you're 5-0, but guess what? You also only get paid for 15 games this year. Yeah,
that's wrong.
So it is not just as easy as canceling the football game and saying, Tennessee, you lose, which is the ultimate penalty. I don't know. Maybe the penalty is draft choices. Because now suddenly you, as an organization, need to make sure that your team, including apparently your quarterback, don't go the day after you have to shut down your facility due to an outbreak of a communicable, contagious, deadly disease, say, well, we got to still be ready. Now, again, players need, this is their livelihood. I think Roger Saffold tweeted out, this is my livelihood. This is what I do. And I'm sticking with my teammates and that they have to be ready. And yes, they do have to be ready and they do have to stay. And not everybody has a workout space at home, I guess. But again, you got to roll with the punches here. We're all trying to make do at home, online learning, all this sort of craziness. And again, I know my physique, I could still do my job. I'm doing crunches.
I see you.
Little Pilates. Try it.
Oh, I've done it.
Okay.
It's the hardest thing ever.
All right. I'm working out. I'm doing my best.
You look great.
Thank you. That's all I'm looking for.
Yeah, I mean.
And the fact that I'm right.
I'm glad you expounded on that, because at 6 this morning, I'm like, man, just make them forfeit, give the Bills a win, move on.
Yeah, but the Bills don't get paid.
Yeah, I didn't take all that into consideration, so I'm glad you kind of...
Bills don't get paid if that's what happens. Albert Breer has got this story on lockdown for Sports Illustrated. We're going to find out what's going on. Michael Kay will join us.
Hey.
We'll talk about the Yanks and the Jets and the Giants and other sports with one of our favorites. And then John Bon Jovi, JBJ, MDT on the RES here on Peacock and more. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many, many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. I'll tell you what, folks, you cannot do without NFL Game Pass and being a football fan. It makes it so much better. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. How do you banish high rates on car insurance? You switch to GEICO during GEICOween. October is their favorite time of year, and the folks over at GEICO have been working even harder to cast out high rates and craft just the right policy for you and your family. Switching to GEICO isn't so scary, especially when they could brew up spellbinding savings just for you. So get a quote today at GEICO.com and see how much you could save. No eye of newt needed. Happy GEICOween, everybody. Old Spice now has Below Deck, a new line of products for your, well, below deck area. New Below Deck Powder Spray helps you feel drier and cleaner down below. New Below Deck Anti-Chafe Stick helps prevent inner thigh chafing. Nobody wants that. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/Old Spice Below Deck. Back here on Peacock Sirius XM, our terrestrial radio audience is in commercial break. We'll be rejoined by them in just a little over a minute's time. John Bon Jovi, Michael Kay, Albert Breer. We have paged Dr. Alan Sills, and we will see if he is going to be available to be calling in.
Paging Dr. Sills.
Yes. So I'm Chris Brockman. What's the poll question right here?
We got two monster celebrity birthdays today, so just wondering, run down the favorite movies of these two guys. Chevy Chase is 77, one of our favorites. So we could go, you know, favorite Chevy Chase movie, Caddyshack, Fletch, Vacations, or Matt Damon is 50. Good Will Hunting, Born, Rounders, Departed.
What is that photograph of Chevy Chase right there?
He looks afraid or
stunned.
Scared that the photographer took his photo.
I mean, yeah, what is that? It's a very...
By the way, Bruno Mars.
He'll get a 35.
He's only 35?
Oh, no, I thought he was younger than that.
Yeah.
No, one of these guys is not like the others.
Yeah, I know that.
But his character
Damon,
actors go
5-0 yeah, for Matt Damon.
Actors, sure.
That's nuts.
I'm going to go with Matt Damon. What's your favorite Matt Damon movie?
Okay, sounds good.
We could do two of these, though, Chris.
Yeah, we could do a Matt Damon bracket, but these are the
best. Or you could do a Chevy Hour 3.
These are the favorite four for us.
Okay. So we are back here on the Rich Eisen Show, on the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network, rejoining our Peacock audience. And if you want to watch us, for those folks listening out there right now, peacocktv.com is how you can get the app. You can also watch us on desktop. It is so simple. It is also free. Joining us right here on the Rich Eisen Show right now, the author of the MMQB from Sports Illustrated, a longtime friend and colleague, Albert Breer, back here on the show. How are you, Albert?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Rich?
All right, let's get right into it. What is your reporting on the Tennessee Titans as it currently sits here with Week 5 about to kick off?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, obviously we're well beyond the point of this being a full-blown outbreak. They've had 23 positive tests, and 13 of them are players. And, you know, just to put that in context, Rich, over the first 2 weeks of the season, there were only two player positives. And one of them was the guy who started all of this in Tennessee. And so this is way beyond what we've seen anywhere else. And the Titans are now under investigation, you know. And I can tell you the two real flashpoints when it comes to that are the high school workout, which I'm sure you guys have seen the pictures of that, the players leading a workout at a local high school. And then, you know, also on a conference call on Monday that the NFL had for all the coaches and GMs, they actually showed pictures from inside the Titans facility of players, staff walking around without masks as a way of showing everybody what not to do. And so in a way, they just showed some of the evidence that they have against the Titans to everybody. You know, so it's, you know, I think there are definitely penalties coming for the Titans. My understanding is those penalties could be pretty heavy. And it's going to be interesting to see where things go from here.
So who was there? And in terms of the investigation, what can you tell us of who knew about it and how a team is told, okay, there's COVID. There is a potential for outbreak. We've got to shut down. You've got to go home. It's a bye week. Take care of yourselves best you can. And then somebody decides to organize a workout. How does that happen?
Right. Well, let's start with the actual investigation. So, you know, they review all this stuff with all the teams. The first sign that the NFL had that there was real trouble here was, you know, the 8 positive tests coming out of the Vikings game. And my understanding is the contact tracing with those 8 was pretty out of control. Like, it was much higher than you would normally see. So now, not only do you have the 8 guys infected, but you also have all these close contacts to the point where it's like, we have to shut that facility down. And then, you know, that is primarily what led to them mobilizing so quickly to start the review. And the NFL and NFLPA, you know, traveled to Nashville last Friday. They're still there. So this would be like the 7th day, I think, of the investigation. So that's sort of where that is. And just, you know, as far as the workout at the high school field, I'd actually heard some rumblings about this last week. And, you know, I think it's sort of a result of players being in a really weird spot where the league took a while to postpone that game. And so, you know, I think logistically the players are sort of thinking to themselves, like, we're being told we have to be ready to play. You know, but then, you know, like, there's a possibility we don't, and we're having these virtual meetings. And so I think for the players, it was, for some of them at least, it was like, all right, well, we have to find a way to stay sharp. So a bunch of them met at a local high school, which obviously wasn't very smart. But I think, like, if you look at what's on the line for these guys, you know, monetarily and otherwise, I think you can understand why it happened.
No, I hear you, you know, and that's why I'm not going all, if you will, in and ham, and it's complicated, and it's definitely something that, you know, we hope will just be what we call a cautionary tale. That'll be it, that nobody gets truly sick here, and that eventually the Titans will return to the field of play. And it'll be something that maybe we look back on similar to what happened to the Marlins and the Cardinals in Major League Baseball, where we wondered if they would even be able to complete a season and if the sport should be stopped and canceled and both teams made their playoffs. So maybe this could be that. But in the meantime, there's the punishment. And, you know, I'm seeing on our social media feeds, as you are too, Albert, the conversation of a forfeiture and a cancellation. Yeah. And Torrey Smith, who I adore and love, says the Titans should have to take a loss and then play next week because of their irresponsible actions. But wouldn't the Bills also be not paid? They would also have to go without a paycheck, too. How fair is that?
Well, I think that would have to be negotiated with the NFLPA. And you know, to be clear, as much tension as there is right now between the 32 teams in the league office, and there is real tension there, you know, the league and the union are working together on all of this. And so, you know, my guess would be that, like, they would, the union would say, all right, like, if you dock the Titans, game check, fine, but you can't do that to the Bills because they did nothing wrong. And I think that would be a fair way to look at it. And I think, you know, if I'm Terry Pegula in Buffalo or I'm Roger Goodell in New York, like, I would logically, like, have to agree with that, too. Like, that makes sense. You know, even if the league is going to lose some money over the game not being played. So that's all stuff that has to be negotiated. And, you know, I don't know that really when those rules were put into place, the idea was one team's really going to screw it up and then another team's going to have to pay the price. It was more if something happens where we have to shut the whole league down for a week, that's where everybody would be done to pay. It was like, I think in the event that something catastrophic happened in our country, or there was an outbreak in a if there was a really bad outbreak in one part of the country that affected teams, but that's what those rules were in there for. So I would think the league and the union would be able to work out the game check situation with the different teams.
All right, and as we know, Albert Breer, the MMQB here on the Rich Eisen Show, as we know, Cam Newton tested positive. Yep. That brought the that brought this thing to a little bit more of an anxiety level. And that game was eventually played on Monday, after which Stephon Gilmore tested positive. Where do things stand for the Patriots this week, Albert?
So there are a couple things to get to here. You know, first, one of the reasons why they postponed the game as quickly as they did and moved the trip to Kansas City back to Monday was because Cam was another guy who had, like, an abnormally high number of close contacts. Now, that makes some sense because he's a quarterback, you know, so
right.
He's naturally come in contact with more people. But his numbers were high. And so they pushed the trip back, and then, you know, they put the guys who were Cam's close contacts on that plane to Kansas City. Steph Gilmore is one of them. So there's some concern that, you know, it spread on that plane. And so the Patriots really aren't out of the woods right now. The standard that they're using, like, is that, you know, normally if you're going to get it, it'll show up in a test within 5 days. The incubation period is longer than that, but, like, over 90% of these show up within 5 days. And so, for example, like, the Chiefs had their case on Saturday. Like, now they're 5 days out. The Chiefs have a reason to feel really good about where they're at right now. The Patriots, that clock really starts with Stephon Gilmore's test now. So they're not out of the woods yet. That said, you know, I was told by somebody last night that when the league reviewed the Patriots situation, what they found was even though Cam had a lot of close contacts, those were low risk close contacts. Now, what does that mean? That means like indoor versus outdoor, wearing a mask versus not wearing a mask. They found that even though the numbers were high, that most of the close contacts that Cam had were relatively low risk. And they also found, looking at the Patriots, you know, video, the surveillance of the Patriots facility, the Patriots were almost 100% compliant with the rules. And so I think the Patriots situation from a league standpoint is different than the Titans situation. But they still have plenty to worry about because you're still within that five-day window where positive tests can muster.
So basically, Albert Breer joining me here, I do want to mention here, Dr. Alan Sills has just confirmed that he can join us today, and he will at 1:40 Eastern Time, the chief medical officer of the NFL. So you're saying the NFL has an eye in the sky in all facilities so they could see who's wearing a mask and where, and also know where about contacts. I'm wearing a contact tracer, by the way, when I'm on campus on NFL Network now. And so they can tell when somebody's nearby and how far and where they are and if they're outside or inside or not, and match it up with video to see if they're wearing a mask or not. They can actually make all of these decisions when they're deciding about the threat level for a game or the people around the players. Is that what you're saying?
This is what happens when you're a $15 billion business, Rich.
Right.
You can afford to turn the 32-team facilities into, like, space stations. You know what I mean? They're able to do that. They have the surveillance video from all of the teams. And if you want to look at, like, how the protocols have been strengthened because of this, protocols that came out on Monday that went to the teams after that conference call, one of the things in there, you already had the surveillance video. Well, now one of the new protocols is that you have to preserve all of the surveillance video for at least 30 days. So now not only do you have the surveillance video, but the NFL, you know, by rule now is going to be able to go a month back with any of these teams, which is pretty insane to think about. And then they wear those contact tracing devices, which I'm sure the same ones that you have to wear over at the network. And, yeah, they basically have all the data on all of the players, so they can kind of call that up when they need to, and it tells them the amount of close contacts, who the close contacts are, you know, who they've been in contact with that might be you know, tier two, tier three, which there are different tiers of this. So, yeah, they have all of that data. And again, you know, it's complicated and it's very, very expensive. You know, and I think it's probably an example of how badly the NFL wanted to play the season, because, you know, going to that sort of measure to make it work, I think, you know, says a lot about, you know, how serious they are about trying to get the season in play from July to the Super Bowl.
So when do you think, Albert, we hear about the Titans? When do you think we hear about what their determination is for week five and also the penalties that the Titans are seeming to incur for all this?
Well, there are definitely scheduling complications that are different than last week. Okay, so you have they play the Bills on Sunday. The problem with, you know, the idea of moving that game to Monday or Tuesday is the Bills play on Thursday after that.
Yep.
And so then you'd have to move the Bills game if you were going to move the Titans game to Monday or Tuesday. They were actually unwilling to move the Thursday night game last week. They were unwilling to move that Thursday game last week when the Chiefs had brought that up as a concern with the Patriots game being moved to Tuesday. So they would have to do that. That would be a piece of it. I would think by Saturday morning, that was the standard last week, like where I think by Saturday morning, they would want to make a decision on the Sunday game, just to be fair to the teams involved. And then you got to think about this too, Rich. I mean, if they're going to try to get that Titans-Bills game played, I mean, at this point, the Titans haven't really practiced in almost 2 weeks, you know? So if you put them, if you say, okay, we're going to play that on Monday, we're going to move Bills-Titans later in the week, or Bills-Chiefs later in the week, like is that like a player safety issue for the Titans players now, because they've only been able to have safety, and you can't imagine being able to get a full practice in first day back, right? So now maybe they have like a fast walkthrough on Saturday, another walkthrough on Sunday, play on Monday. Is that like a player safety issue for the Titans players who haven't really, you know, practiced in pads for almost 2 weeks? It's just, there's so many questions that are involved with that I think, I don't know. All I know is there's not an easy answer. And if you want to talk about the competitive part of this, you know, think about this, right? If that game gets called off, those Titans get called off, well, then you're going to have the Chiefs playing three games in 11 days, and they're going to be playing against the Bills next Thursday night, and the Bills may be coming off of a bye, and that game might wind up being for the number one overall seed in the AFC.
Yeah, I know.
It's just...
I guess it's just
think about all this stuff. It's mind bending.
No, you know? I know, but I guess that's the way everybody's just got to roll with the punches. I mean, you know, the Patriots damn near won a football game on Monday night, traveling on the day of the game, and the Saints came back from 14 points down in Detroit, which I know a lot of teams do, but still, they did it, and they didn't even know if their player that they flew with was positive till the next morning. They had to sleep on that. I mean. So I guess there's still a week 18 option. I mean, and that if it, you know, it's not as if Raymond James Stadium has, you know, a tractor pull or a concert slated for other dates in February, right? I mean, is that on the table here, Albert? What are you hearing about that?
As for right now, like a week 18 would be possible without even moving the Super Bowl, because you could just cancel a Pro Bowl, which I know the NFL wants to play the Pro Bowl. But I mean, let me ask you this, Rich.
I hear you.
Does it seem likely in January that we're going to be flying players from all over the country into one central location and putting them up in a hotel over a weekend? Does that seem likely to you?
I hear you. You know what I mean? I totally hear you. That's why everything's.
So it's, the Pro Bowl is unlikely to be played anyway. What you could do is you could have week 18. Call off the Super Bowl bye week and just play the playoffs on four consecutive weekends. That also, by the way, could make having a playoff bubble a little easier logistically, because you'd be talking about a shorter amount of time. So that'd be an option. And then, you know, contractually, they have the chance. They can't move the Super Bowl back. Like, when these cities bid on Super Bowls, like, they're required to clear additional weeks on top of Super Bowl week for a circumstance like this, where the game might have to be moved. So they could potentially move the game back still, too.
So, Albert, before I let you go, let's have a little fun, okay? Because I know you had a little bit of fun with me in the MMQB, and I didn't bring this up in our text exchange last night to book you for this show. I figured I'd wait till go time, like right now.
I'm glad you saw that. Thank you.
Read your stuff, Albert, and not some, you know, I know you're trying to goad me, and I'm not gonna reward you with an immediate text. I'll just bring it to the people here. Did you see Chris Brockman, how he referred to Joey Burrow?
I did not.
He referred to him as Ohio State football's Joe Burrow.
Oh, come on, Albert.
And then in parentheses, said that's for Rich Eisen.
I was even more specific. It was Ohio State alum.
That's right. Ohio State alum.
Well, he did graduate in 3 years. I understand that.
So, Albert, does that make you, as an Ohio State fan, want to just completely erase the fact that he went to LSU and he's really LSU's Joe Burrow before anything else? Is the fact that you want to now own that heightened or not changed at all by the fact that Dwayne Haskins is now third on the depth chart of the Washington football team, Albert?
I won't go through the whole backstory of how this actually started, but Rich was the one who actually set the ground rule that me and one other person were not to call him Ohio State alum. That is true, which is how this whole thing started. And hey, I'm just taking these things on a case by case basis. And you know, if you want to look at Joe Burrow's resume, if he was going to fill out a resume and apply for a job at the Rich Eisen Show, you know what you would see on there? You'd see a bachelor's degree from Ohio State. So
right.
I'm not actually expecting the truth much at all. He is an Ohio State alum.
No, I know that, Albert, and it's I'm also a Northwestern alum. I'm not just only a Michigan alum, but I didn't leave Michigan before Northwestern because I didn't get the opportunity there, nor did tonight's GOAT that's on display tonight. He just sat there and eventually waited his time, and he's still a Michigan man. He doesn't split any sort of differences, and I just find it so funny how Ohio State fans just claim Joe Burrow as his as your own when he threw 60 touchdown passes and was a Heisman Trophy winner and a national champion for
Go Tigers.
Thank you very much. You know, I mean, that's
we're very proud of Joe's accomplishments, and we very much appreciate how when he was up on that Heisman stage, he thanked Ryan Day. I thought that was very nice of him.
He's a class act.
It really shows the confidence that he has in his alma mater to go forward with the football program.
Right.
Never change, Albert. Never change.
Oh God!
It's just. I wanted to call it out. I just had to call it out. You know what I'm saying? I just had to call it out that you may not claim Joe Burrow as
Rich started. Brockman, write it down. Rich started this. I didn't start this.
You're right. That's true, Albert. You're not wrong.
You may claim Joe Burrow as a native son. You may claim Joe Burrow as an alumnus. You may do all that. You may not claim Joe Burrow as Joe Burrow, national champion, Heisman Trophy winner, first overall selection, and now a clear star of the Cincinnati Bengals. You may not claim him as a Buckeye on those fronts. That's what I'm saying.
Or you just got shown up by the host. Thank you very much.
We may have another quarterback coming for you. So that whole national championship thing might, you know, we might have something coming for everybody.
And I am on your side, Albert. Okay, and also Don Weir, money man, who you referred to. He's an Ohio State guy as well. He's the other guy in on this equation. I give him a shout out here. I'm on your side that the Big 12 better not come around and say the Big 10 champion is not allowed in because of whatever X, Y, and Z. You know what I'm saying, Albert? That we cannot.
I'm on board with that 100%. We're aligned there. No question.
Albert, you take care of yourself. Thanks again. Appreciate the time.
Awesome. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
That's Albert Breer. Yeah, he's got to run. I needed to shoehorn that in and have a little bit of fun amongst the COVID madness.
Of course. Well done.
So I guess that's the fix. Titans, you forfeit. Bills, you get paid. That's not a bad fix. That the Titans were flouting the rules, even within their own facility. How about that, New England following the rules? How about that?
I mean, I love it.
So much for, imagine that, a false narrative about the Patriots.
Blow up that narrative.
Let's blow it up.
No, sir, let us blow up that narrative.
I plead the fifth.
Go ahead and give them the kudos. The eye in the sky. They were.
Love it.
That Cam Newton had a lot of close contacts, but he was masked up and he was outside. They can tell that. Now let's just hope, and this is one of the things I want to ask Dr. Sills. At this very moment, 1 hour from now is when I'll be doing it. So make a note of that. When is somebody potentially shedding the virus?
You don't know.
That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that if somebody tests positive on Wednesday, is it possible they were contagious on Monday, or are they contagious the minute that they test positive? Like what is it? And that's why I want to ask Dr. Sills. It's a question that so many football fans are wondering right now. So we'll take a break, and I want to hit tonight's game. So many fascinating storylines, one in particular, beyond just the obvious Brady versus Foles. Week 5, we'll talk about that. Your phone calls at 844-204-4.
rich as well.
Visa knows that local businesses are the heartbeat of our communities. Whether they're our corner stores, our coffee spots, or our favorite shops, local businesses have always been there for us. They remember our orders. They call us by name. Always giving back, making a difference, and going that extra mile to support us and our community. And right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So now it's time for us to return the favor. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at a local business and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community. Because where and how you shop really does matter. Visa, everywhere you want to be. The official partner of the NFL.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. Bet online to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. What have we decided on the Matt Damon movies? So Goodwill Hunting has to be one, right?
Yeah, so the Matt Damon movies I went with, Goodwill Hunting.
All the Bourne movies?
Yeah, I put the first one.
Okay,
but they all kind of encompass The Departed and Rounders.
See, I'm mad The Martian's not on there.
Martian's a good movie,
but I don't know. Brockman's like you gotta.
Okay, recency bias.
Yeah, I just think for our audience,
Ocean's 11.
Yeah, but he's like the eighth lead in that movie. It's not a Matt Damon movie.
That's Clooney.
Got it. Gotcha.
So I went with Rounders.
Talented Mr. Ripley is not on the list there.
Forgot about that.
Ooh, another one. He could have a best.
Is that better than Rounders?
No.
I just think for our audience, and we're super into poker, so I just think that's better for us.
You talked about poker all day yesterday. I had no idea anything you were saying. So
it's probably a good thing for you, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's one. That's
it's
one.
Probably
nice
good. It's probably good for you.
I want to skip.
We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show on our terrestrial radio partners. We say good day again to you. Michael Kay and Dr. Alan Sills. We will page the chief medical officer of the NFL, who's a very busy man, and we're appreciative of him finding some time for us today. And then John Bon Jovi will be joining us on the program.
Yeah,
we could talk about this with Kay also.
Yep.
Kay's a New Yorker. Bon Jovi is on the Mount Rushmore of New Jersey musicians, correct?
Yes.
All right. You are our resident musician, a music expert,
and
Jerseyite. Okay.
Whitney, Sinatra, Bon Jovi, Springsteen.
Then that's four. You just said Springsteen with an inflection that somebody else is coming. You can only choose four. It's Mount Rushmore.
That's mine.
Whitney Houston is from New Jersey.
Yeah.
Where is she from? What town?
I think
what exit is Whitney from?
She was up near me because she went to Mount St. Dominic, which was a school that was right near me.
Okay.
Mike's got an interesting Whitney story that we've never heard before, Rich.
What?
We used to have dances between the school that I went to, Seton Hall Prep, and her school.
Yes.
And I beat her, my group beat her in a lip sync contest.
So hold on a second.
So she was like doing a thing with
stop.
She was a singer. This is years ago.
Thank you. I did not know this.
I didn't until this morning.
When specifically?
Mike, I don't remember. I'm old now. Like, it was back. I might have been a freshman.
You just keep peeling away the layers. It's like an onion, right?
Because she was born in Newark.
Okay. I don't know. She went to school at Mount St. Dominic.
So you, Mike Del Tufo. You, Mike Del Tufo, on planet Earth.
Yes.
Have been in a lip sync contest with a group of people.
Yeah, she was.
And in the group
girls.
Of people was Whitney Houston.
Yep.
Do you think this is true?
I would say, look, no one likes to call Mike a liar more than me.
Uh huh.
Okay. But
I'm not saying he's making this up. As you know, there are false memories
that
we have.
That's what I mean.
Like, do you, like,
do that's you, why I'm trying to find, I'm trying to find that
100%, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. She attended Mount St. Dominic,
guys,
a Catholic girls' school in
Caldwell.
She graduated in 1981. When did you graduate high school?
84. And I went to 80 was when I went to, I was a freshman. Yeah, I'm telling you, I was a freshman when we competed.
So I feel like this probably is true.
And that's so when lip syncing was big back
Whitney
then.
Whitney hits it big, and you recall, hey.
I actually saw her once.
That was Whitney Houston.
Yeah, my friend actually, because we had it on videotape at one point.
So what
on
was,
a camera.
What was the song you beat them in? Do you remember
I
that?
I have no idea.
Was it Video
did.
Killed the Radio Star?
No, I'm just trying to. I don't even remember. I mean, it was before our U2 lip sync days. But she was, I remember she was with a bunch of girls that competed. We were at a dance. That's
Could
what we
you
did
imagine your Whitney Houston, who I imagine had to have had that God-given talent from the minute that she opened her mouth, right?
You would assume.
Yeah.
And that she's in a lip sync
so
contest.
So the top 10 songs of 1981.
It was more of a talent contest. We lip synced. I don't know. I don't remember exactly what they
See,
did.
See,
like, lip sync would be easier to like bring that in, right? Because it's a lip sync.
I don't remember.
But
if it was
a talent
that's
contest.
What we did that.
So the top songs in 1981, Betty Davis Eyes, Endless Love, Lady, Jesse's Girl, I Love a Rainy Night, 9 to 5.
Was any of these ring a bell?
No.
So
I don't remember.
This is why I do this show for stories like this. And this is why I do this for a living, is I ask the right questions and follow-up questions to get to the heart of the story. So it wasn't a lip sync contest.
It was a talent contest.
Yeah, I mean, so you lip syncing any of those songs, you're saying beat out Whitney Houston being
did.
Actually talented?
Group, yes. Whatever that group. They didn't sing.
Now that changes the story, doesn't it, TJ? Now it changes the believability factor.
I won't say it changes the believability, but it changes the whole scope of the story. Like, anyone can beat someone in their lip sync, but you beat Whitney Houston in a talent contest? That's impressive.
That's impressive, man. I'm impressed. TJ's too nice.
You guys, I
mean, I've known Mike as long as we have.
I've got some wild stories myself, so far be it from me to sit here and go, Mike, I don't believe you. I'm going to take him at his word.
From you, I find them, you know, like a fresh bouquet. From him, I have to check the expiration date.
It's just, you know what I'm saying? I get excited.
Expired.
My
expired.
Mother always said,
expired.
My believability was always based on my excitability. I get excited when I tell a story, and it makes me sound like I'm lying. My mother always, rest in peace, used to say it to me all the time. She's like, you just get excited. I get excited. Rich, you know me. You've known me 18 years now.
Yes.
I'm excited when I tell a story.
One of the many reasons why we love you.
Yeah. And then that makes me flub around sometime.
Right. And say when you want me to listen to something, watch this.
But that means I'm
when you
definitely
want me to watch something,
you
go, listen.
Exactly. Right. That's how you know I'm definitely telling the truth when I do that. Because that's my excitability.
Look, I'm not going to lie.
I know.
That's what I say that all the time,
so,
too. That's my,
by the way, that was beautiful. That was like almost poetry. That's like, you know, they once upon a time, Michael Kay will remember this. Somebody once made a book. They took Phil Rizzuto's words verbatim and put them into poetic form. It's called The Verse of P.F. Rizzuto. It's a book that I had, and you can still get it. I would love to get it because, it, you know, like there was like a, they would write about, you know, they would just take him talking about wanting to go home and beat the traffic on the George Washington Bridge and put it into like poetry, and you'd read it and it would be poignant. You saying that your excitability undercuts your believability actually kind of hit me to the core right there.
I think that's true. That might be the most true thing you've ever said.
I know, and it's either something of you finding yourself or you had Chinese food last night and that came out of a cookie. And again, I don't know what to believe.
So back to the
because you said it so excitably.
Right. Next, back you know to the
saying?
New Jersey artists.
All comes full
so it's Whitney, Sinatra, Bon Jovi, and okay. Springsteen. Those are the four.
Those are the four.
Bottom for me.
How do you beat that?
You can't beat that.
I don't know.
Is there
okay,
another one out there that might actually?
Southside Johnny's on a lot of lists because they were big, but they weren't Southside Johnny as big as they were.
Okay.
Can't. Then we got Dionne Warwick.
Throw out "Living on a Prayer." What's the best Bon Jovi song?
Lay Your Hands on Me. When they used to open that up in a concert, unbelievable. I have goosebumps now.
Better than Dead or Alive?
Yeah. Lay Your Hands on Me is unbelievable. They would come out and they would just boom, boom. They would do it for the encore, but right. They would do it. It was like both. But that, nothing beats.
Where is Bon Jovi on the number of concerts you've seen? Because I know you've seen like U2, 50 and Springsteen.
Probably only like 10 or 12. I haven't seen them a ton. Last time I saw them was out at the... I think they're staples of the Forum.
Well, Bon Jovi gave us a shout out on Instagram, which is wonderful. Whenever any guest does it, when you've got as many followers as he does, it's great. So I took a snapshot of it and sent it to Susie, my wife, who has been a Bon Jovi fan since birth. And I just with a kiss emoji, just like, hey, look at me, right? She wrote back, oh, I know, I saw.
Love it.
And a kiss right back.
Fantastic.
Because this picture of Bon Jovi, you know, with a football and an NFL logo behind, just looking at the NFL logo.
Yeah.
This might be from when you beat Whitney in a lip sync contest. Which
How
you never
have they
did.
Not done a halftime show?
Who, Bon Jovi? We can ask.
I always thought they
I
would.
I think personally, and I won't bring this up with him because I don't want to put him in any position, he doesn't want to be part of a halftime show. He wants to be part of the league. He wants a team, man.
Yeah.
And you don't bring that up. Like, hey, are you interested in the football team? Because that's Fight Club, and he knows it's Fight Club. And I will not put a man who is a Jersey Mount Rushmore lord, who my wife adores, and who gave us an Instagram shout-out, and who's calling into the show for multiple times, I'm not going to put a man like John Bon Jovi in a position like that.
He'd be a great owner.
Oh, Paul Simon's from Jersey.
Simon's another one.
Dion Warwick. Dion Warwick.
Yeah, I know he's going on. He went down the list.
Paul Simon is up there, but and Cool and the Gang.
Cool. I mean, that's my boys.
Wouldn't Cool and the Gang take up all four spots?
That's true.
I got
that's
a good
true.
Cool in the Gang story TJ's heard, but I
now
can't
that's
tell you
what
now.
We call a tease. I know I said I was going to talk about Thursday Night Football, but that's what the next segment is for. I cannot, again, I beat Whitney Houston in a lip sync contest, then changed to I lip sync, she did something
some
else.
Sort.
And how does that something else not beat him lip syncing Jesse's Girl or whatever the hell it was? 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll take your phone calls. Michael K., Dr. Alan Sills, John Bon Jovi, and you still to come on this Thursday show.